If you turn in your Bible, please, to Revelation in chapter 3. And you are familiar with the last words that God speaks before he tells you about the church being taken up to heaven and the tribulation begins. Revelation chapter 4 and thereafter. So, what's the last thing he says before when he's done with the church on earth? Last thing he says, chapter 3, and picking up if I can in verse 20. You know it. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If they may not, hear my voice and open the door, I will come in, not to the room, not into the basement, I'll come into the person, into him, and I will sup with him and he with me. So when a person receives the takes to heart the invitation of God and hears God's word, and you know all those things, 1 John 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the power, the privilege to become children of God. And when the person receives him, receives the Lord as their Savior, they become a child of God. That's what happens. How does it happen? They take God at his word. They don't understand at all that before anything ever was created, as you guys do, the Lamb of God was slain before the foundation of the earth. They don't know that yet. They don't know that. They just know what God has said. As many as received him, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If they open the door, I'll come into him. That's how you get saved. So when you get saved, and it was probably read over to 1 John right next door, that's how you get saved. You didn't do anything. All you did is take God at his word. That's what you did. That's all God asked you to do. So don't add anything to it. Don't subtract. That's what God said. You follow the rule. Follow what I said. And doing that, when you do that, again, 1 John chapter 5, as was noted, I'm going directly in verse 12 for time. You will note, please, in 1 John 5:12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So if you honored God's word and received him, did what you said, he said, I'm going to receive you into my heart, into my life, as my Savior. And if I do that, if I have the Son, and you have the Son, or anyone has the Son, they have to have life. They have to have life. Why do they have to have God's life? Because they receive God's Son. That's why they have to have life. So far, we got no feelings, no fears, no, we aren't all over the place. We're just taking language simply, like they're supposed to do in the Constitution and Declaration that. We're taking God at his word, which is what he said. Why are we taking God at his word? Because John 1:14, and the word became what? Flesh, and dwelt among us. And then God put, you know, Psalm 138, God puts, he said, stress on his word. Why? Because he gave you that. Here we are in his presence, and what are we going to do, God, with you? How are we going to handle you in our earthly existence? You've given us your word. Your word is above your name. That is, it is in our hands. We can rip the pages out. We can close it. We can read it. We can throw it away. We can do whatever. The word's in front of us. So if we honor the word, then we're going to know the Lord, come to know the Lord, and honor his word, and going to receive him as our Savior. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. So that's how we get saved in a wonderful way. And when we get saved, what is it like to be saved? Now, you don't know this. If you came to know the Lord as your Savior, you would not know this normally at first at all. So therefore, what happens when you receive the Lord as your Savior? Now, you know, you are all comfortable. Were you all comfortable today living in your body? Was there any part of the day that you weren't there? Is that all right? Is there any part of the day you were not occupying your body? Was any part of last week that you didn't honor and that you were understanding that every single second of a 24-hour day, you understood you were in your body? And there was never a moment you did not understand that. You didn't even give it a consideration because it's understood and practiced. That's what you do. Now, if you got that part, which is pretty easy and practical and easy to handle. So, and God, how did you get into that body of yours? God put you there when your mommy and daddy gave you the form and a body. God put you in the body, otherwise it would just have a dead corpse. God put you in that body. That's why you're there. So when you receive him as your Savior, God does something else. When you received him as your Savior, you have life. Whose life? God's life. Now, let me just run it. You know it. Over to 1 Corinthians. And 1 Corinthians and chapter 1. And you will notice, please, here's the local churches. Remember, New Testament, one local church per city, per district. Never more than one. Why never more than one? Because what is the local church doing, bearing testimony in a given area to what? To communicate the wonderful resurrected life of Christ. He isn't trying to recognize, and how do we do that? We're going to go and God's going to put all the believers, blue, green, yellow, rich, poor, fat, small, big, whatever, wouldn't make any difference. They're all in one body. Why are they in one body? Because there is only one body. What are they doing? They're representing the Lord Jesus Christ, period. That's the New Testament. It got all, as you know, history, church history. Laodicea, you just read it. So here we are looking, God, and you do a wonderful thing. Here's the local church in Corinth, southern Greece. Picking up, please. In verse 2, unto the church, the assembled body of believers, church of God, assembled as body of believers, church of God, which is at Corinth, that's where it's located, to them which are sanctified and set apart in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, that's what they are, with all that in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. So the local church bears witness to God's wonderful person. They are saints, they are sanctified, thus set apart, and they are all saved. Now, all people are different. Humans are what humans are. But when humans, whom Christ died for, you have to keep that in mind, underline, the good guy, the bad guy, Christ died for them. Christ saves them. The terrible killer, the wicked man, woman, if they turn to Christ, the same as the good guy, the little old lady that serves hot dogs and cookies, they're the same, either one. The cookies, murderer. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, he saves you. He died for you. That's what he did. Period. You don't want to mess with God. That's what he's doing. So we don't want to say, well, the little old lady was better than the murderer. Well, there's no question. You don't want to go in the grocery store when she's in the, you want to go in the grocery store when she's there, not when the murderer is there. There's no question. But that isn't the issue. The issue isn't that. The issue is a relationship. God died for all. Therefore, they're saints. You have to understand that. You think like that. You have to turn your mind around. The assembled body believers, saints, seated together in session before the Savior, the sovereign God. Now, so therefore, quickly, over if I can to chapter 3. And in chapter 3, you would recall, verse 16, this is the local church in Corinth, the saints that are saved. They got their problems because they're humans. But that isn't the issue. That isn't the issue. And boy, it is not understood, to say the least. Chapter 3, verse 16. Know ye not that you are, R-A-R-E, you are what? The temple of God. And that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him which you are, him shall God destroy. Why? For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So that's the way it is. You get saved, know the Lord is your Savior, and that you, he that hath the Son hath life. So if I have this, received him as my Savior, I have to have life. And therefore God, and you are assembled with saints, you put wonderfully into a relationship with God and his body, and the local church bears witness to his that relationship. That's why you're in the local church. To bear witness to what? Your relationship to God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now, chapter 6. And in chapter 6, again, chapter 3 is talking about the whole assembly in Corinth. Chapter 6, verse 19, is talking about you, an individual believer in the body. So, chapter 6, verse 19, you know it. What know you not that your body is the temple? Temple, the body whose temple you are. A temple of the Holy Ghost, it belongs to God, and God has taken over that body, which is in you, and you which you have of God. When you receive Christ as your Savior, you received the Lord Jesus Christ, who's God. And you are not your own. Why not? For you are bought with a price, verse 20. Therefore, what are we going to do? Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So God took over that piece of property that he gave in the first place. What is the property? It's the body you live in. That's the piece of property that's his. You live in that body. God gave you that. Otherwise, you wouldn't have it. Now, going on, if I can, to chapter 12. And to say it in a wonderful way, God does what? 1 Corinthians 12, picking up, please, in verse 12. For as the body is one, O-N-E, and hath, the body one, has many members, parts to it. And all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So it doesn't make any difference about anybody. If they're saved, the little old lady and the murderer, They're in that body. And I'm to understand that in my little brain here. I'm going to have to understand it when he takes us. So I need to quickly understand it here to start capitalizing on being what? A member of the body. Otherwise, I'm just a floater. I don't want to be a floater. God didn't make me. God made me so that I find my home 24 hours a day, every second of every hour, every minute. I find my home in my body, in bed, out of bed, work, home, school, whatever I'm doing. There I am. So when God, I get saved, what's going to happen? Well, I have a relationship to me in here, and I received him as my Savior. So now I have a relationship to God, and I am in God's presence right now. So are you. So God, that's a wonderful thing. I don't need to smell. I don't need to see. I don't need to feel. I don't need anything. I just need to know the obvious. And when I'm really going to be objective and thoughtful and not stupid about everything, God, it's just so. So there we are, now, in your presence, and one body, verse 13. For by one Spirit we are all baptized, placed into, identified, baptized, placed into, immersed into, one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Now, God, so when a person gets saved, they receive the Lord as the Savior. He that hath the Son hath life. And therefore, and without reading it, you know it, John 5:24, we passed from death unto, you're not condemned, you're passed from death unto life. Boom, all over. But, no, took place. The same as your physical birth took place in a moment or two. Your spiritual birth takes place as quickly as Jesus Christ, you receive him as your Savior. Boom. It's what it is. But you feel it. You don't need to feel it. You just need to fulfill the requirement of believing of who he is and what he's done, and you receive him as your Savior according to his word. Now, so, verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased him. So when you came to know the Lord as a Savior, assuming we all did, God help us, then we are placed in that body and we have a unique relationship to God. Now we have a relationship to ourselves, and there's no minute of any day that you want with you. There's no minute of any day that you're not with him. We're in his presence, you can't get out of it. And he took your body, and made it his home, his temple, his place of dwelling. And God, Christ in you, Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. God, so we got it. So when am I going to be without you, God? Never. That's why he'll say, you shall not perish, but you're going to have what kind of life? Eternal life. You can never perish. You can't do it. Maybe tonight, no. Maybe there's some second during the tomorrow. No, there isn't any. There is no such thing. Either you're saved and you have the Son, or you don't. And you're going to either you understand that or you don't. And you need to understand what happened. I'm trying to help you so you can put it together. I want to be able to live. God told me I have to enjoy his wonderful person. Hang on. So therefore, God places us in the body as it pleases him, just to be in the body. And without reading the whole wonderful 12th chapter, without reading it all, you're in the body. It doesn't matter where you are. Oh, so am I going to be an eye, a nose, a mouth, or what? No. Just being in the body. I'm going back yesterday into God's book. I would rather be It is such a wonderful thing if I could just be a threshold for God to crack across for God's house, in God's house. Just a threshold. I don't want to be anything. A fingernail. Just to be in the body. Just to be in the body. That's what it's about. I'm already in this. All the rest of it, hang on, all the rest of it is going to come and go. And we hear, we have ears to hear what God says. And, you know, you don't have to turn there. In Revelation in chapter 2, verse 7, an H church, what are you going to say to them, God? He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what your neighbor says to you, or what the radio program says to you, or what I say. No. Have an ear to hear what the Spirit of God says to the churches. So we are what? Are we listening to each other? We've got to talk to each other? No. No, we're listening to God. That's why we're reading it. That's why we're understanding it. God, I don't want to get it all messed up on the relationship. I don't want to lose it. God. So when Lynn gave her testimony of that, what's she doing? She wants, I'm line up, line up, line up. God, I'm there. Good. Now, in the light of that, he that hath an ear to hear. And the Spirit of God is going to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. The whole 66 books of the Bible is about God. You read the scriptures, for John 5, 29 and 30, all those different things, 39. And they are that which speaks of my wonderful person, said God. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if you would, and in God's wonderful grace, and he's the head and we're the body. So that's who we are, a local body bearing witness to who he is. And you need to know people come and go and going to have all kinds of things, you know. And they do, and they need to understand they are to have a unique relationship to God. Over to Ephesians, and in chapter 1. That's what it's all about. You're going to read your epistles, the New Testament, and it's all about having a relationship to God. That's what it's about. It isn't about anything else. It isn't about you becoming a super success. It's about you, book after book, Corinthians all the way. For what? About having a relationship to God. Where? In the local assembly. But, I don't. No, you have to understand. And I'm telling you, people, hang on, they just don't understand. So in Ephesians chapter 1, picking up if I can, in verse 22. Remember now, the church, the body of believers, sliding over in all the context and all of that. And God hath put all things under his feet, Christ's feet, as it were, and put all things under his feet. And so he is the Lord of lords and King of kings. And he gave him to be the head as a gift to the gift. He gave him to be the head of all things, over all things, to the church. The church is a gift, a body. God gave to Christ a body. A way you have a head, and your body expresses your head 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Your head, from in the communicating, is telling your hand to move, telling your foot to move, telling your mouth to open. Your body. So you're communicating, you have a unique relationship, and your body is telling, is you're commanding the body to honor what? The head. God, we aren't anymore our own. We're bought with a price, and we belong. What did you do? You received, we received you as our Savior. You made us part of your wonderful person as a temple for you to dwell in, to occupy your wonderful person, to express yourself. the local body is an expression of Jesus Christ. That is not understood. It's like going to the grocery store. There's all kinds of grocery stores. This one, get loaf of bread in this one and bananas in the next one. Whatever you do. And it's like groups and joins and clubs. That is not what the church is. That is definitely not. But it's the Protestant, Catholic tradition, the evolution. That's what we got. We don't have one assembly, believers there, all understanding God. That's a powerful thing. But we don't have that. That's long gone. We're at the end of the age. That's why Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Because that's long gone. But, the truth's the same. That hasn't changed. So God, verse 23. And that body, the local church, which is his body, don't even have to guess at anything. Just read it. Pay attention. The church, that's this is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And you need to understand that. That's his body. That's the way the head shows its wonderful person on planet Earth while he's seated in heaven. The body down here we are, work, home, school, play, fumbling around, trying to do and be everything we can, as much as we can, as much as we understand. And we're trying to do that. And we ought to. In the process of what? Expressing our unique relationship to Jesus Christ. God in you at school, God in you at work, God in you with doing the dishes, God in you, whatever you do. It's about that. That's life in action. And you just taking God at his word and entering into it. But it isn't done. It isn't done. We talk to people and they, can you explain that to me? No, I don't understand that. No, but I feel it. I feel. Good. That's good. Now, having said that little bit in chapter 1, over if I, and keep in mind now, and it's awful hard what we're trying to say in the church and his wonderful, wonderful person. It's awful hard to find out. Over to hold your finger. Well, you don't have to hold your fingers. You're right next door. Over to Philippians. And Philippians in chapter 2, just let me remind you, what are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be doing being saved. And verse 12, as you know, for 4,000 times. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in myself in my absence, work out, exercise, experience, put together what your understanding is. That's what we're trying to understand. I'm trying to redo it again. Every now and then, you gotta do it. Because we forget. And we forget and whoops, what's he talking about? Well, same thing when you got saved. What does it mean to get saved? You're in the body. Do people understand being in the body? No. Come on. They don't understand, no. So God. So when we're looking at, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. Working out that wonderful relationship to God. And by the way, you must include verse 13. You must include it. You can't work out your own salvation in fear and trembling without, verse 13, for reason, it is God which worketh in you. Now, how are you going to do it? Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. That's pretty easy. You don't have to be a genius, you know. Without me, you can do nothing. Which God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And so, God, you're working. And what am I doing? I'm letting you work in my heart according to your wonderful grace, because I already belong to you. I'm able to give expression and evidence of that in the local body of believers for your wonderful outworking. And no, I either understand that or I don't. Otherwise, I can go from this grocery store to that grocery store. I can do whatever I want. And that's what people do. It's the same in baptism. How many people have been baptized? I'm baptized. I'm recognized. Christ died for me and buried and rose again, seated at the right hand of God. After the baptism, what happened? Where are they? Communion. A cracker, 11, we're going to do that Sunday if they don't have a blizzard in the process. Communion. We'll take it. I took it. But people do that. What's it mean? That's what we need to fix. Get clear in our head. What on earth did we just do? Why on earth did we do it? It doesn't mean anything. I'm telling you. We got the word. You guys are all working at it, ladies, men, everybody. We're trying. But not everyone wants to. We're at least trying. I hope we're trying. So Philippians, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And so God, here we are looking. And remember, to say this in another different way, what was the one thing about Adam and Eve when they sinned and that? What was the one thing? God gave them a free will. They could say yes or no, to go left or right, or to sit or to stand. They had a free will. Now, what did they choose? Well, in their free will, that's pretty nice to have a free will, and they exercised it because Satan said to exercise it, eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's what they did, and they exercised that. And so, therefore, they sinned, and what happens? Well, they got caught up in the terrible, terrible dilemma of evil. And therefore, here they are, they're acting independent, and all of us humans, we're born little babies, and we come out and we're little babies, and we haven't got too far along, and what do we learn? We learn how to say no. Did you ever notice that? We learned how to say no. We learned what? We're exercising our independence. All the while, we're dependent on everything. In our dependence, we're exercising our independence as we choose. Because what we don't want to do and don't want to think about, we will not do it. And everything is subject to that point in a person's life. So everything you want, totally dependent. We say breathing. That's true. You've got breathing. That's a little hard to get away from. But all the rest of life, that's why people can be married 50 years and get divorced. There's nothing. Nothing says anything is close. Do you understand? We're independent. And we're dependent only in our relationships as we choose to exercise them and enjoy them. To the measure we don't want, when something comes up, whoosh, come on, you've lived long enough to know that. All you got to do is be around humans for a while. And that's obvious, because that's what we are. So what's the problem? God saves us from that lousy situation, and we come to God, and we look to God for his wonderful grace and his outworking. Back over to Ephesians. And in Ephesians, and in chapter 5. So here's looking, before I do that, I'm going to go over to chapter 4. And you will note the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry. And in the process, verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, Paul's in prison, remember, at this point, I beseech you that you walk, exercise your 24-hour-a-day living worthily in a way that honors your vocation. What is, not, that doesn't say your job or anything. What's a vocation? It's what you are breathing for. What do you do? And we use it, and I'm a doctor, lawyer, Indian chief or something. No, vocation. God has given you a wonderful assignment to represent his wonderful person. That is your now. What are you doing? You're exercising life. Whose life? His life. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You have a unique relationship to God, like you have to your body. You never leave it. You're always together. And when you receive Christ as your Savior, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you're always together. Say I'm not, but then you need to make some adjustments. Say, well, I don't feel it. God never asked you to feel it. God asked you to believe it and operate by it. Walk in faith. Walk by faith and not by sight. If you don't have any faith, without faith, I'll say it, Hebrews 6, 11, 6, without faith, it's impossible to please me. But you must believe that I am. And we're in your presence, God. Now, how many people practice that and even understand that? No, they don't. No, all you got to do is just look in the world for God consciousness. So, what I'm trying to do is help us to get an understanding of what we're trying to profess and pursue in God's wonderful will for our life. That's what Lynn said. That's what she wants. She wants to have that change, that awesome change that God produces. And if you remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, we're looking in a glass in the mirror, and we are being changed from one image to another. We're being molded, changed. Some of us, we're all being changed. I was going to say just the young ones. No, we're not. Nope, no matter what age you are, you're being changed. First you had something in, then you don't have it anymore. You just keep getting older. And you've done it? You're changing, growing up, and you get a body. Wow, whoops, hang on, because it's still going, and it goes up. And you say, it's going up. I'm a full 20 years old. Full of zip, you know. And after 30, who can you be? You know, so here we are going up. But you know what? The roller coaster is what? Gonna go down. It's going down. And you jumped the gun. You said a whole lot about you didn't understand. The going up assumes that it must, can't go up. It has to go down. That's the rule. Your body isn't made to last. And it's a temple of God. So here we are looking to God, chapter 5, Ephesians. And what do we know? Well, God, you're going to go and you're going to present that body. As you remember, chapter 5, we read it the other day. In chapter 5, picking up, please, God gave himself for it, the church. He loved it. Why does he love it? Because, verse 26, that he might sanctify, set it apart, cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That's how God's word. You say, how come? God gave his word. That's what God did. So it doesn't matter how you feel, whatever. God gave his word. That's how it is. That's what you go by. You do that with your thing. Don't you guys have the internet or whatever the thing is out there, smartphones or whatever. And you have to, don't you? You can't just make it do anything. You have to tell it. And if it likes what you tell it, it'll respond to you. True? It'll respond to you. And it already is programmed. Well, God, you've done a wonderful thing and saved us. And so we can't tell you what to do because we're to outwork that which you have in mind. We aren't ours anymore. We belong to you. And you're going to do what? You aren't going to present us so we could each have our little thing. Are we all going to have our little house in a special housing project in heaven? Is that what you're going to have? A little house in heaven and a little backyard and to raise your little garden and no hunting, of course. And in the process, we're going to do that? Are you going to do that? No, you're not going to do that. God said, in my Father's house are many mansions, many abiding places, and they're all, you're not all over the place. You are seated with me, he said, Ephesians, Revelation 3, 21. Ephesians 2, 6 and 7. You are seated with me. Where I am, you is. That's the way it is. That's how it's going to be. And you're going to be with me, with everybody else that's saved. You want, there's no one left out. I hope you don't get saved because I don't like you, but I like you. No, it has nothing to do with that. Either you're saved or you're not. And that's, you belong to the body. It doesn't make any difference how you feel. It's true, you may end up with nothing because you aren't exercising your benefits in wood, hay, and stubble. That's true. But we're all in the body. And God, so the sooner I catch on to this in a right way, the better I'm going to be. And I'll handle a whole lot of things differently. So therefore, Ephesians in chapter 5, verse 27, presented to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be both be holy and without blemish, sliding down. So verse 28, so ought men to love their own bodies as the, love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. So explanation, no man ever hated his own flesh. No, they don't. We take care of it. Wherever we go, God, our body goes. No man hated his own flesh, verse 29, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church, his body. And four, what about his body? You are members of the body and of his flesh and of his bones. I don't know how personal you want to get. That's pretty personal to me. God said, you can't be more close to me. You're my bones. I'm the head. You're my bones. And I want to exercise that. I want to do that. And in doing so, I want to be a believing believer. There are all kinds of believers, dear people that say they're believers. The question arises all the time. No one's going to ever say it, though. Am I a believing believer? Am I believing what I'm supposed to believe? For real. And you'd be surprised. We have arguments, we have our reasonings, we have our rationale, but we don't really believe. And we have to be believing believers in order to enjoy what? Being part of his wonderful person. Belonging to his wonderful person. Becoming all that he has in mind to be like him. That's what we're going to do. That's where you're going, where you're headed. You're going to leave this body, which is going downhill, and you're going to get a new one. But the new one is like whose? Like his. You're going to have a body just like mine. You're going to be able to, I'm the head and you're the body. We're going to match. We're going to match. You're going to be like me. You're going to be like me. That's what you're going to be. It's a wonderful thing. And God, that's what a church is. Local church. A body. I'm telling you, most people don't, all you got to do is start talking and pay attention, listen. And what they can't say, tell me about your relationship to Jesus Christ in the body. Actually, biblically, not what you feel, I want to know what you are actually practicing in your little head and heart. And that's what we need to do. And if we don't do that, we don't enjoy. And that's what church is. That's what being in the body is. And that's why I think we're going through and we're going to go through an exercise in the delay. If the Lord doesn't come this week, that's delay. if he doesn't come this month, that's a delay. If the delay takes place, we're going to keep finding that, boy, we're just going to get caught up in the ecumenical movement, the political movement, and just sort of shift and compromise and adjust. And we never said comrade before, but now we say comrades. I'm not exaggerating. It could be. That's how you get along, comrades, you know. And we're going to have. So I think we're exercised. We're privileged to be put globally in a place of exercise to make real and not just academic or profession or something we say and then we go into our life and we lost what happened. God made us a new creature and all the rest humans are going to stay humans. They are not going to change and you're not going to change being a human. I'm not going to change being a human. I'm going to be a human till God takes me out of this body. And that's what I'm going to do. And I hate being a human. We fail, we get hurt, and again, everything's happened. But I know we have to overcome that because that isn't the way to work. I got to look to you, God, as a dead man enjoying an endless life. I want to enjoy my body. And Lord willing, I'm going to try to go home maybe across the street and go through the door in this body. I'm going to do that. And maybe tomorrow, if I wake up and live, then I'm going to be in this body. And when I go home and knock on the, go to the door, I can't go to the door without God. I can't go in the house without God. I can't go to sleep without God. I can't get out of the bed without God. And I can't proceed without God, no more than I can without me. Because I'm part of the body. And when I do that, Philippians 2:13, for God worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God is going to be doing his wonderful will. Not my thoughts or my feelings or my wishes. Nope. I'm locked on factually, objectively to a target. I'm not floating up in the air. I'm not trying to excuse myself or bypass. No, I'm going to walk down that corridor. God help us. In the valley of the shadow of death, evil and darkness. And God, I'm in the middle of it, and so are you. The church is, the world is. So we're going down the corridor. That's a wonderful thing. You can't walk out the door if you're saved without God. You just can't do it. That's the way it is. Now, either that clicks in your little brain somewhere, and maybe it'll start clicking, if God's with me, why aren't I looking to him, trusting him, looking to him for his wonderful outworking? God, it isn't about anything. It's about you. God, it's your joy, your will, not my will and not other person's will. It's your will, your work, your work. You are the workman. It is your workmanship that's taking place. We're changed from one degree of glory to another. And that's what we should be doing going through. And that's what all the exercise is.